In 1929, the mayor of New York City was a man by the name of LaGuardia. One winter evening in 1929, Mayor LaGuardia visited the courtroom in one of the poorest sections of the city of New York. The judge who was presiding over that court was known to be a rather tough man. He went strictly by the letter of the law. You could expect, if you violated the law, to receive the maximum sentence due you when you appeared before this man. But on that evening, Mayor LaGuardia dismissed the judge for that evening, and he presided over the court himself. One of the cases that he heard was the case of a poor widow lady who lived in that section of the city, who had been arrested for stealing bread. When asked, you know, the circumstances and everything, when it came her turn, she says, "I'm guilty. But my grandchildren were hungry, and the only option I saw was to steal. And so I stole that bread to feed my grandchildren." LaGuardia said, "You know I have to sentence you. You're guilty. It's either $10 or 10 days in jail." And the widow lady said, "Well, I don't have $10, sir. So it'll have to be the 10 days in jail, but I plead with you. I have grandchildren, and I just can't be away from them for 10 days. Mayor LaGuardia took his wallet from his pocket and he paid the lady's $10 fine. This happened, folks. He paid the lady's $10 fine and then fined everyone in the courtroom 50 cents for living in a city where a widow had to steal bread in order to feed her grandchildren. And so the hat was passed, and when the lady left the room, she left with her fine paid and $47.50 to her name to start anew. Have you ever made a mistake in your life when it comes to your service and devotion to God? Am I the only one? No. We've all made them, haven't we? Didn't you feel, when you remember those things, I mean, even now, as I remember those things, how disappointed I am in me. Surely he was even more disappointed in me. What was your response? I mean, we've all done it. I mean, I'm not talking to anyone who doesn't know exactly what I'm talking about. We have failed in our love and our devotion and our service to God. We failed Him. I mean, your Bible says it, doesn't it? To Christians, John is writing in 1 John 1, beginning in verse 7, when he says, "If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all our sin." You don't need cleansing from sin, Christian, if you're not committing sin. In fact, in the next verse he says, "If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us." So the blood of Jesus Christ can't forgive sins that's not acknowledged, that's not admitted to. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us. If we say we do not sin, we're a liar, and we do not the truth. So, what's our response? What's our response when we fail? You know, a lot of people handle it in different ways. I know some people who, because they have failed in their service to God, in their lives toward their Heavenly Father, I know some of my brothers and sisters who've just quit. I wonder, is that what God wants from me? I don't live perfect. I'm not going to live perfect. That's my goal. That's my desire. But I'm not going to live perfect. And when I don't, and I recognize that I don't, do I just say, hey, I'll just quit? If I can't live perfect, I'll just quit. Is that what God wants? And the answer is no. What God wants from us is for us to try this thing again. Let's try this thing again. I mean, it doesn't take much of a Bible student to read in the pages of our Bible about some of our great heroes who failed miserably. But they're our heroes because they tried again. God gave them the opportunity to try again, and they did. I'm thinking now of King David. Did David fail miserably? Just about as miserably as a man can. Just about as miserably as a man can. Entered into an adulterous relationship with a woman by the name of Bathsheba. Impregnated that woman. Then lied about it, tried to cover it up. Eventually had her husband killed so that he could marry that woman. And still, no acknowledgement of his wrong. No acknowledgement of his wrong. It took God sending his prophet, Nathan, to David. And Nathan, through the wisdom of God, told this perfect little story about a man who, two men, one was blessed with many, many sheep, and another man was blessed with one little ewe lamb. And he raised that ewe lamb like it was his own child. Well, it ate at his own table. It slept in the bed with him. The man who had a lot of sheep had a visitor come, and instead of taking one of his many sheep and killing that sheep so that they could have food and he could feed his guest, he went and took the one little ewe lamb that that other man had and slaughtered it. When David heard it, he was so mad. That man will surely die. Nathan said, "You're that man. You're that man." Then and only then does David acknowledge, "You know, you're right. I have sinned," he said. "I have sinned." David could have said, "That's it. I quit. I quit." But God presented David with an opportunity for a second chance. Now, he said, there's going to be consequences to your actions. There is. And there were. David had to go buy a casket for the baby that he had with Bathsheba. David, because of the life that he lived, and because of the shame that was in his life, when his own daughter was raped by her half-brother, David turned a blind eye to that, rather than manning up and doing what he ought to have done. David, because of the shame in his own life, failed to discipline his own children, probably because they would have said, "Well, who are you to tell us what to do? Look what you've done." David ends up having to buy a casket for a son named Absalom who rebelled against him and took the throne from him and eventually was killed. And David had to bury his own son. Every time I read the words of David in that context where he says, "Oh, Absalom, Absalom, oh, my son, Absalom, would to God that it were me." You can feel the heartache going on inside that man, can't you? I failed. I failed. But he didn't quit. He's restored to the throne. But he comes back to the throne an entirely different man. He comes back to the throne trying to make up for all the things that maybe he would have never made up for had that event in his life not taken place. It's as if David says within himself, I'm going to try this again. I'm going to try this again. He becomes known as the king who's after God's own heart. What a man. How about Jonah? Did Jonah disappoint God? Did he let him down? Well, sure he did. Absolutely he did. There were consequences to that. And Jonah suffered them. God had told him, go preach to the city of Nineveh. But instead of going preaching to the city of Nineveh, Jonah turns and goes the other direction. There were consequences to his actions. But I love, after the big fish had spit Jonah up on that seashore, I love the words of Jonah chapter 3, verse number 1. And the Lord spoke to Jonah the word of the Lord the second time. What's that saying? You get a second chance, Jonah. You get a second chance. And Jonah makes the most of that second chance, doesn't he? Now he goes at it. Maybe his heart's not totally in it. We know that from reading the last chapter. We understand that. But God gave a man named Jonah, whose heart wasn't in it, a second chance. Let's do this again. Let's try this one more time. At least let's try this one more. Hey, brother, how are you? Let's try this one more time. Have you ever made a mistake? Let your God down when it comes to your service and devotion? Phew, I'm glad you're here, brother. It's not just me and you. It's not just me by myself. I know I'm talking to people. Every one of us have done that, haven't we? Every one of us. Aren't you glad you have a God who says, let's try this again. Let's try this one more time. Let's try it again. I read about Jesus telling the story of a man in Luke chapter 15, of a man who had two sons. Remember that? And the youngest of the sons came to him and demanded his inheritance. And the father gave it to him. And he went out and he wasted it. Wasted it. I'm very conservative. I consider myself very conservative. I try not to waste anything that the Lord has blessed me with. If he blessed me with a vehicle, I plan to get the last mile out of that vehicle. I try my best to waste nothing. But I've wasted a lot of time in my life. I've wasted a lot of opportunities. Here was a young man who went out and wasted his father's substance on wanton living. Bad choices, bad decisions, bad things. I quit, he said. I'll just quit. Well, that's essentially what he says. He ends up, remember, making the decision to hire himself out to a citizen of that far country. And he's sent out to feed pigs. They become so hungry, I'll just eat what the pigs eat. He thought about it, folks. He thought about it. That's quitting. I'll just quit. This is what life has in store for me. Why should I try any longer? I'll just eat with the swine. God gave him a second chance, didn't he? Aren't you glad that Jesus told this story? Isn't it beautiful? The young man comes to himself. He says, I'll go to my father. Have you ever thought about what he said to himself? He said, I'll go to my father and I'll say to my father, Father, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. Have you ever taken the time to read what happened when he got back to the father? Of course, we know about the father running to meet him. But the boy started his speech. He didn't even get to finish his good speech that he'd come up with, right? He didn't even get to finish his speech. Father cut him off mid-speech. Remember what the father said when they got back to the house? He said, prepare a feast. Kill that fatted calf. Let's prepare a feast. Listen now. For my son that was lost is found. That's second chance, folks. My son that was dead is alive. Second chance. Second opportunity. Son, let's try this again. Let's try this again. Whew. I disappointed my earthly father a few times. I'm thankful he was gracious enough to me to say, son, let's try this again. I've disappointed my heavenly father many more times than that. I'm thankful I've got a heavenly father who says, son, let's try this again. Don't quit. Don't give up. Let's try this again. The Apostle Peter spent 3 years with our Lord. Impetuous, blurting out things, you know, say things that usually didn't say the right thing. In situations, I mean, he denied our Lord three times. He had said he wouldn't do it. Jesus said, oh, yes, you will. Before the cock crows, you'll do it. Three times. I don't know him. I tell you, I don't know him. The third time, he cursed and said, I tell you, I don't know him. Jesus turned and looked at him, made eye contact with him. You remember that? He made eye contact with him. And Peter, he got it immediately. Didn't he? He got it immediately. He couldn't stand the eye contact, and he turned and he fled out into the darkness of the night, weeping bitterly. I quit. I can't even live up to my word. In one evening, I can't live up to my word. Why should I try? Why don't I give up? But early on a Sunday morning, Jesus arose from the grave and he told those women who came to the grave, the angel told the women who came to the grave, you come seeking Jesus. He's not here, but he's arisen. He's risen from the dead. Go tell Peter. What's he saying? What's the message? Go tell Peter now. Let's try this again. Let's try this again. Yes, you failed. Yes, you let me down. Yes, I know you've disappointed yourself. But let's try this again. In fact, every individual you'll read about in the pages of the Bible, if there's much told about that individual, they needed the opportunity to try again. Well, even Abraham, the father of our faith, God had told him, hadn't he? I'm going to make of you a great nation. Well, your children will be numbered like the grains of the seashore. The stars, you can't count them, and won't be able to count the number of your children. He hadn't had a child yet. He hadn't had a child yet. And he goes down into Egypt. there he's met by the king of Egypt, and the Egypt sees Sarah and says, wow, what a woman. And Abraham says to Sarah, Sarah, they'll kill me in order to have you, so tell them you're my sister. Lie. That's what it is. You say, well, it's a half lie. Listen, folks, no such thing as a half lie. He lied. And he did it a second time. He lied. But God said, let's try this again. And God gave him the opportunity. And God gives you and I the opportunity. I don't mean this to rhyme. I didn't mean for it to rhyme when I wrote it. If there's any rhyme in it, it ain't because I'm a poet. But I just, a few weeks ago, sat down and I just wrote down some things. A man named Peter stumbled bad, lost all the love that he ever had. He fouled his own soul's spring, he cursed and swore, and all that sort of thing. He got another chance, and then he reached the goal of God and men like me. A boy goes wrong the same as he who fed swine in a far country. He seems beyond the utmost reach of hearts that pray and of lips that preach. Give him another chance and see how beautiful his life can be. Paul cast the young man Mark aside, but Barnabas his mettle tried. Cast out his courage, or called out his courage, roused his vim, and he made a splendid man of him. Then Paul, near death, longed for a glance of Mark, who he now gave a second chance. King David, one dark day, fell down. He lost every jewel from his crown. He had another chance, and he found his kingly self redeemed and recrowned. Now lonely souls and countless throngs are lifted by his deathless songs. For fallen souls of men, arise, advance. Our God is the God of one more chance. Folks, the only way we cannot make it to heaven is if we quit. If we quit. And the message from God's word to all of us is, let's try this again. Let's try it again. If we confess our sins, he's faithful. You got that, didn't you? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Now, you can't beat a guarantee like that. You can't beat it. And so let's try again. My brothers and my sisters in Christ who made a commitment, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to serve him with all my being. I'm going to. But you failed. You failed. Your heavenly Father would say to you, let's try this again. Let's try it again. It was to his own people, the nation of Judah, to his own chosen people, that God would say through his prophet Ezekiel, speak thou, O man of God, to the house of Israel, who says, if our sins be upon us and we rot in them, how shall we live? But speak thou, O man of God, to the house of Israel, for as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. but they that turn from their wickedness shall live. So turn. Turn from thy wickedness and live, O house of Israel. Let's try this again. Let's try it again. God's not giving up on you. That's not even under question. The question is, have you given up on you? And the message from God is, let's try this again. How about it, church? Let's try this again. And let's keep trying till heaven is our home. This morning, if you're a child of God and you have need of your brothers and sisters in Christ, maybe praying with you and for you toward the forgiveness that you know you long for in your heart and the restoration that you desire. Restore my spirit, Lord. Restore me, Lord. Count those blessings. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. And somewhere in that list, folks, is going to be the blessing of let's try this one more time. Let's try again. Let's try again. Let's begin with you today. Okay? Let's begin with you today. Let's try again. If you're a child of God and you need us, let us know. Maybe you're here, you're not a Christian. You're not a Christian, but you can be. We'll help you become one today. You come with a heart full of faith, with repentance in your heart and in your mind, and obedience be your determination by being baptized this morning. We stand ready to help you. If you stand in need in any way, you come as together we stand and sing.